whooping them slaves, my man came back with a heist movie. What's his name?
Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen, the black one, not the other one. And
not the dead one.
Not the dead one. Not the dead white one, the very much alive black one. Mm-hmm. And the guy got many accolades for his depiction of slavery, very rough depiction of slavery, and 12 Years a Slave. And got some awards for that. What did he get? Academy Best Picture nomination,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if he won Best Picture, though.
No, he won.
Did he win? Oh, yeah. Nice. Very nice then. Well, now, coming back with something a little bit different here. Got a heist movie and a clever premise we have here. We got Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson, he taking too much shit this time.
Back to being a badass.
Back to being a bad. He took a little bit too much, though, this time. Pulled off this heist of his own. Stole a lot of money. And they just messed that
they
all up.
They just murdered the fuck out of
his ass. Yeah, they just fucked that all up. Ended up blowing up at the beginning.
Him and his whole crew.
Most people just kind of come out the car and get shot. The SWAT blew their asses up.
Even Bonnie and Clyde would look at that and go, God damn.
How come ours can look that cool? Now, the money is gone. Car blew up. Ain't no way. If people ain't walking out of that, none of that money. Maybe a dollar or two escaped, but it ain't the $2 million that they stole. And now that money, they came from somewhere, and the source that it came from was not a good one. These guys robbed some gangsters. And all these guys had wives that they left as widows. Hence your title right there. But these gangsters, they're after one person because her husband is the one that did a direct hit on them. Dude said, we weren't even fucking with this dude. And yeah, he stole to steal from us. So we're going to get our money back one
from
way or
you.
Another. From you. Not these other widows, but your black ass. Talking to Viola Davis. And so these guys, she's in deep. $2 million to them. But she says, you know what? So now I got to work my ass off to get this money. And if I'm going to work my ass off to get this money, I'd be goddamn, I'm going to get somebody else.
You bitches are helping me.
Yeah, y'all coming in, y'all going to help me. We all going to take a cut from this because we work too hard. We working too hard to get this money, and we ain't giving this back to nobody. The hell with that Negro. He ain't getting this money.
Right. So rather than trying to pay him back, we going to take this book. We going to figure out a heist. We going to make him enough money to pay him back, and we going to be set up too.
Yeah. We're going to watch Ocean's 11 about 5 times. See what we can do. And you know what? It's not that this is just a straightforward heist movie. You know, Steve McQueen don't do that. He's like, I got to put in some social.
Yeah, political intrigue.
Yeah, I got to put in some social issues here, political intrigue. I got to put in some things about racism. I got to put in some stuff about income inequality, sexism, all that stuff, man. You know, I'm just going to come in here and have people run off with money. I got something to say. I'm deep. Does that work for this? Do we have a heist film with more substance than the average crime caper out there? Let's go ahead and take a look at this trailer. We'll be back to tell you so with our review.
You have no idea, do you? Or did you choose not to know? Your husband stole $2 million from me. This is about my life. This is about my life. And because it's about my life, it now becomes about yours. Like a leaf
clings to a tree. Something happened tonight, something bad. And your family's been involved in Harry's life for many years. I need help.
I don't see what I can do.
Our husbands aren't coming back. We're on our own. My husband left me the plans for his next job. All I need is a crew to pull it off.
Why should we trust you anyway?
Because I'm the only one standing between you and a bullet in your head.
What I've learned from men like your late husband and my father is that you reap what you sow.
Let's hope so. This is for guns.
Guns? From where?
Figure it out.
If this whole thing goes wrong,
I want my kids to know that I didn't just sit there and take it. I did something. Now, the best thing we have going for us is being who we are. Why? Because no one thinks we have the balls to pull this off.
This you've probably heard of because it's getting excellent reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, which means it's just a bunch of critics out there who are loving what they see. I believe it's currently at, I don't know, the 90% range, lower 90% range, but still 90%.
Pretty good.
Very fresh. Tomatoes are very fresh today, Martin, and delicious. And I'm looking at this movie, I can see why people would actually love this film for certain reasons. I mean,
I know exactly why critics love it.
Oh, why?
Look at the names associated with it.
Oh yeah, Viola Davis, Steve McQueen,
Gillian Flynn,
Gillian Flynn, and even some.
Viola Davis.
And even some new people that are in there. Cynthia Erivo, who's an up-and-coming Broadway actress, British Broadway actress in here. But other reasons why I can see people love it, because the talent is there. You see it on the screen right there. Yeah. But some of the things you don't see when you're watching this, just a trailer, if you watch the movie, direction is amazing. Direction goes beyond creative camera movements. Mm-hmm. There are tricks that are done to make you focus on other important elements. Cameras, like for one, a camera's placed on top of a car while the people are inside. You don't see the people, but you hear the conversation as you just kind of, it's almost like you're riding on the hood.
Uh-huh.
And it's meant to make you focus on the dialogue that's going on in the car while also keeping the camera moving, keeping you something, giving you something to keep the momentum going as you watch. There's another shot in the movie that I really like a lot where you're focused on one character. You don't even know that shot is composed for another bit of action to come in. And when it does, it's very clever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of great direction in the movie. And as I said, the movie opens up where it just grips you, man. I mean, you want to talk about some great camera work and direction going on along with the action that's happening. That heist at the beginning, you with them on that heist.
Yeah, it's like you're one of the members of the crew.
Yeah, you in that car. In fact, I saw myself like, man, let me out. I ain't done nothing. I ain't with them. It throws you in the action.
It does.
And most things put you in a car chase or some big action set piece, but this shows you what's going on in the car while things are breaking down.
Well, there's also that great contrast because you open with Liam Neeson and Viola Davis as a married couple, which is odd to see in the first place. And they're making out to the point where, like you talked about, he's eating her face. Man. Sorry. He's devouring her face like a python.
Yeah.
But then it cuts to the heist back and forth. You don't realize that's him in the heist for a while.
No. And speaking of them as a couple, again, the direction of that love scene, which is played, it ain't supposed to be romantic. It's supposed to be, look, I'm horny.
Yeah.
This man is, Liam Neeson, I love the contrast of them on white sheets and she's so dark and he's so light. And it's almost, and the way he's like he's eating chocolate cake.
Uh-huh.
He's just biting off into her. He's about to put his tongue up her nose or something.
Girl, ain't
man.
Nothing in the world more delicious than you.
Yeah. Dunkin' Hines. About to dunk in your Hines right now. But there's even well-composed artistic shots in this,
yeah.
You know. And as we said, there's a great cast, man, you know, with good, look, they got good elements to work with in this movie. You know, they have the good dialogue. Of course, the director is bringing a lot out of them in the film.
That Brian Tyree Henry is just blowing up.
Brian Tyree Henry, man, that guy is, ever since Atlanta, because I know he was on another show.
Vice Principals.
Was that Vice Principals? Oh, yeah. And even before that, he was on some family show on ABC or something. They showed him. Yeah, he was on Vice Principals also. But Brian Tyree Henry, man, that guy, he's and him in, what's his name?
Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah, but from Get Out. Those guys are coming up, man. And I really like those actors, and I'm happy to see them finally getting a lot of work. And the, you know, here's where, you know, things get a little bit rotten for me.
Yeah, no, with all these great things going on, it's surprising how completely dumb this movie is. This is one of the dumbest movies I've seen all year.
It really
is dumb as shit. And I hate to cuss to say it, but it's just such a great setup and so much going for it. And you're pumped. The thing is, okay, so my daughter Gwenny, she saw this movie. She saw it almost a month ago at an African American Film Festival. And she came she called me. She's like, "Dad, I know everybody's liking this movie, but I just don't know." And I was like, "Well, maybe you're young and you don't see it." And then when I saw it, I called her right away. I was like, "Holy shit, I see exactly what you're talking about."
Yeah. Did y'all see a different cut than we saw? Cuz ain't no way he would do this heist and conduct it like they are and get as far as they do, because it is the, I mean, first of all, it's dumb because we don't even get enough information to know how they're trying to pull this off.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They don't give us enough information. There's all these distractions because there's a political rivalry going on between Brian Tyree Henry and Colin Farrell, which seems intriguing at first, but really it's just background noise.
Yeah.
But how the team comes together doesn't make sense, or why they would trust each other. In the middle of it all, they give a perfectly good reason for the heist not to go forward. Because her whole thing is, I got to get this money to pay these guys off. And then something comes up to where it can all be taken care of.
Yes.
It can all be taken care of, but no, we still got to do this heist. No, you don't. And matter of fact, and one of the biggest things in here is that there is a huge plot twist. I'm not going to say what it is, but when it comes, it feels like something out of a trashy soap opera.
It's a wow, Martin. You and I are way in sync tonight.
I was like, am I watching a telenovela right now?
Martin, let me pull up my notes. I had to read some words that Martin actually said that I wrote down exactly like he said it. And I wrote down telenovela in here, and I don't even know where it is anymore because I was going to scroll down to it, but you beat me to it right here. Yeah, because that's what it turns into. The movie is here it is. And this is going to be out of context, but I wrote in, after all these ambitious statements, this turns into a telenovela twist. Sound like a cocktail, right? That's what we just served right here. Because, you know, listen, they got all these people playing characters that don't have much to them.
Yes.
Once you pull back all the heaviness of these names, these actors, all these deep things that they're trying to achieve with this movie, these characters ain't shit. They're all dumb.
Yeah, they're all dumb. They're thin. Oh, they might have a statement to make, but they don't. There's not a lot of follow through with it.
Yeah.
Especially Michelle Rodriguez's character, where you think, all right, well, she's got a lot. She's losing her quinceañera shop because her husband was a goofball and spent all the money, and that's why she needs to go in on this. And ultimately, her character just kind of fades away.
Yeah, and they gave her man. This is kind of like this other movie we talked about tonight, the Fantastic Beasts 2, Grindelwald. You know, we talked about how there are all these subplots that mean nothing.
Nothing.
She's got some subplot going on with her husband, this shop, and even a mother-in-law, and the mother-in-law thing comes to nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Listen, it's okay to have kind of basic bare-bone characters. And the story, as I said, it doesn't have that much to it, really. And that's fine. If you were if you were sticking to the basics of making what they presented here, which is a heist movie.
Uh-huh.
And this could have been a lean heist film, man.
It could have been.
It definitely starts out as one.
The setup is awesome.
The setup is amazing. And, you know, and the story is great. You know, with all these women with their husbands dead, they decide to pick up where they left off because they were too stupid to make it happen. And they're like, oh, you know, they even say, yeah, our husbands gets kind of dumb. And they, you know, and they're going to succeed where they fail. Because on top of that, it's not that the husbands were just dumb. The husbands were physically abusive. The husbands were mentally abusive. The husbands just didn't know what they were doing. You know, they're bringing the family down.
Right. And yeah, they spent the family's money.
Root for these women to persevere. It's like, this is a great, look, this is a great movie for the age we're living in now.
Right, right.
Steve McQueen, I got things to say. Steve McQueen comes in and
it's trying to be two different movies.
Steve McQueen comes in with all these heavy-handed messages that he wants to make, and they're written with such importance, Martin.
Uh huh.
You know, they even direct it that way. You know, because the movie's bloated with these issues. This takes place in Chicago, so the movie's trying to talk about gun violence, police shootings,
Chicago
politics. As I said, income inequality. Sexism, racism, and all that shit leads to nothing. It has nothing to do with these women trying to steal this money. Uh-huh. So please stop coming in and interrupting my heist movie with all this serious shit, because you ain't saying nothing. It'd be different if it meant something.
Right. And you go like, okay, sure. Steve McQueen, he felt the need to interject all these social messages. But listen, it's Gillian Flynn. Gillian Flynn wrote Gone Girl and Sharp Objects.
Oh, yeah.
So at the bare bones, it's going to be a good, smart heist with some twists I don't see coming. Wrong.
I think he... did he interject all this into this story?
I have no idea.
Or was this in the book? Because I don't know.
I honestly don't know.
Because, I would love to know if all this stuff was in the book because... And I don't know, tell me, because with Steve McQueen directing, some of this seems like it might have been added.
Well, I got the impression... Just the way, you know, a lot of books are, it's probably in the book. Maybe to a lesser degree, more subtly, or a book is just longer so that it has a chance to develop these things so that it all feels organic or you get that feeling or you know these characters well enough. Whereas here, we don't really get to know them. They're just sort of types. They're even half types. It's like they start out giving you sort of sketching out what the type is. And it's like the sketch fades before they finish getting done. They go like, well, you kind of know. I don't like this drawing. I'm going to work on this next drawing.
Yeah, yeah. You know what it feels like? It feels like you were actually doing a crime with a criminal. And the whole time the criminal's trying to talk about morality and philosophy. I'm like, man, we ripping off a liquor store. You know, I ain't got time for this. Uh-huh. You know, it feels all this stuff is a distraction from what really is just an action movie.
Right. You know, and you're like, listen, if you're just going to be an action movie, then commit to that. Stop trying to act like you're something important.
Yeah.
Because you're not. And even as an action movie, you're missing a lot of key pieces here.
Yeah.
Like bringing the team together and saying, hey, I got to have people I can trust, but I just picked you almost randomly, and we got to do this in a week.
That could have, that could have worked because they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And that could have worked with them being so inexperienced. And having to work as a team to pull this off and even failing in some areas. But that's not what's going on here. You were hanging out with a dude who's committing crimes who just got out of community college and trying to tell you some shit about life. And it's like, man, let's just do this caper right here and shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And it's one of these things where, oh, man, you got Viola Davis. And whatever you write on the page, she's gonna do her best with it. She's not going to, slack off just because the script is dumb. But her character here, she's almost the same character she plays on How to Get Away with Murder, where she has the white husband who is, taken out of the picture, and she's running around yelling at everybody. I'm like, all right, this is, it's almost like something she didn't know what movie she was in.
Yeah, Viola Davis is going to command the screen no matter what she's in, and that's why I thought, okay, it's good to see her in charge of this group right here. And I will also say that, because I do like the women in the movie, and I will say that I like Michelle Rodriguez in it. I mean, her story is not that strong, but I do like that she's kind of played against type.
Sure.
She's definitely in a more vulnerable character.
No. And I was in that first part that I was liking. I was like, I dig this. I like that she has a bigger part here.
Yeah.
And she's not playing the type.
But she's not playing the type. But still, even when the movie seems to be going all over the place, there's still that moment where these women come together and the team, the team is forming their plans, and you feel like at that moment it's showing some promise.
Our go date is in 3 days, the night of the debate. Now all of our work is worth nothing if we don't move this money and fast.
The notebook says $5 million. That's exactly the amount of money Mulligan was accused of taking in commission kickbacks. So over here we have $2 million, 20 Tupperware boxes, each box has $100,000 in $100 bills. It weighs 44 pounds. Now over here we have $2 million, 40 Tupperware boxes, each box has $50,000 in $50 bills. It weighs 88 pounds.
I feel like I'm in school.
Tell me about it.
We gotta start thinking like professionals. We're in business together. There's not gonna be some cozy reunion. After this job, we're done. We have 3 days to look and move like a team of men. The best thing we have going for us is being who we are.
Why?
Because no one thinks we have the balls to pull this off.
Technically, we don't have balls. Get out!
You can't be here. If you can't show up on time and not give me lip, you're fired. Wait, come back. I need you here.
And again, all this stuff with the heist, all these deep issues, for it to come down to just at one point be a telenovela.
Did you notice how is Cynthia, what's her last name? Is it
Arrivo, Cynthia Arrivo.
Okay. How they make it seem from the posters and the trailers and all that, like she's one of the widows, but actually she doesn't come in to the last act of the movie and just kind of joins in like she's been there the whole time.
Come in looking like Wesley Snipes from Demolition Man. Yeah, coming at the last minute. Yeah. They build some things up, and because she does come in later, is her character is really like I still don't know who you are. I don't get anything
she
about
you.
She
can run. That's it. Her special power is she can run fast and a lot.
Yeah, and this whole thing, the reason why I'm so disappointed with Tyree Henry and Daniel Kaluuya. First of all. Brian Tyree Henry at least has a scene, a really good scene. He's intimidating. Yeah. The scene comes in on when he talks to Viola Davis.
Yeah.
It's a great scene. And again, it's a scene that shows promise that doesn't follow through. Daniel Kaluuya just does what does right now, just grabbing his nuts and just being tough. Both these guys end up just being regular gangsters we see in any movie.
That's the thing. The way they started, I thought, this is interesting. Because they're gangsters, but he's got political aspirations. Mm-hmm. He's running for an office. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting way to do this. And Daniel Kaluuya, he had this, you know, this very coolness about him. But, you know, he's like, this guy's dangerous. But he's got one scene that starts out, I thought, really cool. Like, okay, this is intimidating. But by the time it was done, I was like, that's actually some supervillain shit he just did. It's almost... I mean, it was cool when I first started, but now I look at it, mm-hmm. it's actually kind of cartoonish. And it was at that moment where the movie started to go downhill fast.
They put all these people on the poster, like they doing some deep shit, and including Daniel Kaluuya. And really, when you're talking about cartoonish, these guys really are cartoon gangsters. Yeah. I mean, it's like Tyree.
Give me the money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like Brian Tyree Henry. He's the boss, yeah. Dan Kaluuya, you know, his brother. That's his brother. He's like his henchman. Like yeah. you say, Brian Tyree Henry comes in, hey, give me the money. And,
yeah, and Dan Kaluuya is like,
yeah, you heard the boss. Yeah. You heard him giving the money. Sticky again. It's like, and what you see them doing in that scene right there, that's what they do. They just sit around. They either attacking somebody or they just looking tough.
Harry Rawlings. You never mess with me, I never mess with him. Me in different games. I always have respect. So why'd he hit me now?
Well, I know why. Thinks you're setting your sights on something high, you're getting sloppy.
What? He looked at him like, what the fuck you said? I said, no, right? I didn't understand you.
I had the privilege of working with your husband a couple of times. He was a wonderful man. I'm so sorry for your loss. If there's anything I can do, please don't hesitate to ask. I'm not a hard man to find. And God bless you.
I have no lines. That statue's part of the game.
Yeah, you heard us.
You in now.
Want to mess with us? Hey, where you going?
Nah, man. Really what it comes down to is this is a movie that to me. Now, a lot of critics love it, so I can't speak for everybody else. And I'm not trying to be, again, I'm not trying to be snarky. This is just my opinion. I mean no disrespect, because I do think there's a lot of great things in this movie. But to me, it's a movie that feels like it's too important for what it's doing.
Yeah.
It's a very self-important movie, and that's what it comes across as. And because of that self-importance, it misses out on something that, I mean, because this, listen, I'm not saying you can't say anything in a movie. Either you do it in a way that adds to the story, or you just create what it is. This should have been like a kind of a cool, fun heist movie.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it can't be deep and serious and maybe depressing, or whatever. But that's what you had to me, and you tried to make it more, and it wasn't more. So that's, I mean, all these people that like this movie, I really didn't even like this movie. I was actually bored in a lot of this film. I'm giving this a rental. I'm not even giving it some bullshit. I'm giving it a rental. I don't. This is me making assumptions, and I know you. This is my own, and of course, I'm not saying this is true. I'm just saying how I feel. I get a hint, and I hope it's not true, but I get a hint that this is, with all the women that are in here, it plays to the woman's movement that's going on right now. I also think that because you have these issues of racism in there, politics is in there. When politics is heavy, people are seeing those things as heavier than what they really are. Just those themes. But those themes don't play out too well. And I think people are seeing that and making this movie more important than what it really is. I'm not crazy about this film at all. I don't maybe higher expectations. I don't know. But rental.
Yeah, the movie's a colossal letdown when you look at all the talent that's in it. And it's trying to be at least two different types of movies and failing at both. Because all I had to do was pull it off is be tighter and smarter about what it was doing. And it couldn't be bothered to do that. And you're absolutely right. You don't have a telenovela where you're trying to have all these deep political thoughts and aspirations, because it's just not working. It's because at the end, it being such a silly movie, it should have moved a lot quicker than it did.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't. And I read some of those glowing reviews, and it was people praising it and still having to admit the things that were wrong. But they would come back to you like, but the great Steve McQueen, I know he knows what he's doing.
So you see what I'm saying?
Oh, I know. I see exactly what you're saying. I saw through it the first time. I was just like, yeah, I'm not falling for this. As a matter of fact, it makes me angrier, because it's people, it's at least two people, the writer and director, who should know better. I mean, we expect more from them. We don't expect a little bit more from them. We expect a lot more from them. 12 Years a Slave is in my top 10 of all-time favorite movies. So I know what this guy, and you know, looking at Shame, you know what this guy is capable of. Mm-hmm. And there should have been so many kiboshes put on what was going on, or a rewrite, or something to curtail this from going. Because, I mean, look, we're listing things that are wrong with it. We're kind of capping it because we don't want to spoil it. But if we were having a spoiler discussion, we could go deeper in how this movie falls completely apart.
And it's not even a spoiler, but like, if we had time to go deeper, we could talk about what we were saying, unnecessary subplots. Elizabeth Debicki, she's got that storyline with that land developer.
Yeah.
That takes up so much of the movie.
It takes up so much of the movie, and you think it's going to be something, and it just kind of goes away.
Yeah, it fizzles out.
And it's something that happens with her character. Of all the things that went on, I was like, that's the thing where this completely unravels and y'all shit is over. And they just blow it off like nothing.
Yep. Yeah, I know. Again, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's so much of that this movie ends up being kind of a waste of your time. Now, I will say all the black women there were hooting and hollering and loving it. So, hey, if it fits you for that, Then go for it. But this is a low rental.
Yeah, I did not like this movie. I'm giving it credit for the good direction, technical direction.
Right, because it starts out so good.
Yeah, there's so many unnecessary things going on here that heist just becomes a sliver. That heist is done like that.
That's true, because they talk about it, and then by the time they do it, it seemed like, oh, that was it?
That was it.
Why did y'all spend 2 weeks working on this plan?
Shit, the heist was they stole our time. And successfully got away with it. I need to go to Viola Davis. I want my time back.
Right.
You understand?
You better pawn some of this furniture and get my time back.
Damn. Sometimes I hate critics. beat up myself.
Yeah, you can just feel like a lot of them saying, like, I ain't going to be the one to talk shit about this movie.
Yeah, well, you know what? No, it's funny because there's two audiences work for this, that this works for. It's the critics that want to praise this because it's from this director who's done this acclaimed work and is talking about these prevalent issues, these social issues. And then there's the regular crowd, like the black one we saw with, they just love a twist. You know, just love they love that cheap soap opera shit because when that twist happened, they're like, girl, no, he did it. And I say, I wish he hadn't. Yeah. They were loud too. They didn't give a fuck.
They did not.
No, I was like, this is for y'all, man. Yeah. I ain't complaining.
Yeah.
If this whole thing goes wrong, I want my kids to know that I didn't just sit there and take it. I did something. The best thing we have going for us is being who we are. Why? Because no one thinks we have the balls to pull this off.